So in preparing for Hurricane Irene over the weekend, many communities around the East Coast prepared for the worst.
They must, I repeat the word, must evacuate beginning tomorrow and complete the process by 8 p.m. tomorrow night, unless they get permission to stay in place based on the ability of the particular facility to keep operating during hurricane conditions.
That was New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who was talking about historic preparations for what turned out, at least in New York, to be less than historic. As we've heard, it did actually break records in other parts of the country, such as Vermont, where the flooding is at historic levels. But the dilemma is neatly summed up by our partner, The New York Times. And this is what it said in the paper this morning, and I'm quoting. For scientists who specialize in hurricanes, Irene, which roared up the eastern seaboard over the weekend, has shown an uncomfortable light on their profession. They acknowledge that while they may have become adept at gauging the track a hurricane will take, their predictions of a storm's intensity leave much to be desired. Let me put that straight to Adam Sobel, who joins us now, professor at Columbia's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences and Columbia's Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Can you respond to this for me? Are forecasters great now at predicting a hurricane's path, but not intensity?
Yes. The statistics show that the hurricane track forecasts have improved greatly over the last couple of decades, with forecasts at 2 days, say, being as good as they were at 1 day a couple of decades ago, whereas the intensity forecasts haven't improved much at all and continue to be not so great as we saw. Although I think it's important to emphasize that while Irene's forecasted landfall in North Carolina was not as intense, the actual intensity of the storm wasn't as strong as was forecasted day or two before, but the forecast for New York was pretty accurate even a couple of days before. It didn't change much as the storm progressed.
But why is it so difficult to predict the intensity of a storm? Does it change that much?
It can change fairly rapidly sometimes. Some storms do what's called rapid intensification for reasons that often aren't well understood. And storms can weaken when they aren't expected to, as Irene did off North Carolina. And there are a lot of different reasons, the relative importance of which we don't always know. Some things have to do with factors external to the storm, conditions in the ocean, wind shear in the atmosphere, which means large-scale winds blowing at different directions or speeds at different levels, or things internal to the storm, internal dynamics, things the storm does on small scales that we sometimes don't understand and sometimes don't observe well enough to predict, even if we did understand them.
Okay, but we spend a lot of money and a lot of time making models, right? We're speaking with Adam Sobel, professor at Columbia School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, and also Columbia's Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory. So, Adam, we create these models where we look at past storms, we measure the storms that come through, we measure the temperature of the ocean, we measure the direction of the winds, we measure all these things, and we say this is what the situation was at the time, and this is what the storm did. After we get a certain number of those models, doesn't that make us able to predict, based on those things, what a storm is going to do?
Right. Well, you raised several different issues, so let me talk about all of them. There's two kinds of models, statistical and dynamical. The statistical models are what you described, looking at past storms and what those did and the conditions they were in. Then one can look for how the current storm is similar to ones that may have occurred in the past and get some idea from that. But that's only as good as the database, and plus the storm's evolution may not be totally deterministic, which means that even under the same conditions, two storms may evolve differently because the statistical models only know about certain fairly rough factors. The other kinds of models are numerical models, which use the actual our knowledge of the actual physics of the storm to simulate them on a computer. And the two different issues there are the model itself and the observations that go into it. The model itself, we know the physics underlying the storms pretty well at the end if we had a big enough computer, but we don't have big enough computers. And so one factor is resolution, just like the number of pixels in a digital photo. If there aren't enough, then the image gets fuzzy. And the same is true with a model of a hurricane. There's only a certain number of pixels that we can, or grid points we can have in the model, and it's never enough on current computers. And the other is inherent knowledge of the physics of the storm is sometimes can't be captured perfectly, both due to resolution and other limitations of how we build the models. So there's imperfections in the models, but even if the models were perfect, you need to know the current conditions in the storm at t equals zero when you start the simulation or the prediction, the numerical prediction. And we don't observe perfectly. We fly aircraft through, and we have measurements, as you said, to some degree of the ocean, not really enough measurements of the ocean, and measurements of the winds, but those measurements aren't dense enough in space and time. They don't cover the whole area of the storm, not even close to it, really. So that, even if the models were perfect, that would be a limitation. And the third limitation may just be that we don't know how far ahead of time intensity is even inherently predictable. It may even be that if everything were perfect, you couldn't predict that far in advance, just as we believe that regular weather can't be predicted infinitely far in advance, but only out to, you know, a couple of weeks at our latitude.
We're speaking with Adam Sobol. He's professor at Columbia's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences and Columbia's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. So, okay, we've said that they're at this point they got the path of the hurricane pretty accurate. And if I understood you correctly, they're also relatively accurate on what was going to happen when it hit New York. I mean, while the media may have been saying it was going to be a major disaster, the forecasters had predicted it may cause some minor flooding. But how come we didn't know it was going to cause massive flooding in Vermont?
Right. Well, the flooding in Vermont depended on a couple of things. The track was a little bit to the west of what was initially predicted, and being on that side of the storm, being on the east side of the storm, made it worse in Vermont than it would have otherwise been. The other factor is that the flooding in Vermont wasn't due to storm surge, of course, because they're not on the coast, but was due to rainfall, which it was known that rainfall would be the big risk for Irene, rainfall-induced flooding, because the storm's very large and very slow-moving, which means that any one spot is likely to sit under great amount of rain for a long time. But, you know, the amount, quantitatively, the precise amount of rainfall is something we still don't have a great handle on predicting in hurricanes or other types of weather systems.
Okay, so Adam Sobol, when are we going to get the perfect model? When are we going to actually be better at predicting these things?
When are we going to get better? That's a good question. A lot of people are working on it very hard, and there's a lot of new things tried, but, you know,
the answer I was looking for, Adam, was by the end of the year. That's really what I was hoping for. You're not giving me a lot of hope there.
Sorry about that.
Adam Sobol, professor at Columbia's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences and Columbia's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
We actually asked you if you think we expect too much out of our weather forecasters. Melinda wrote this on our Facebook page. I would rather weather reporters over-prepare and over-concern us around natural disasters 100 times than under-prepare us once. That being said, I think making sensationalistic stories on people's tragedy is in poor taste and has become so commonplace as to make us callous. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway. You can also call us at 8778 My Take. You can take pictures or a video of what's going on in your neighborhood in the aftermath of Hurricane Irene and upload it to our website using our iPhone app. And do you think there was too much hype before the storm? It sounds like Melinda does. Adam says, I appreciate the warnings. I don't understand why no one tracks success records like airlines publish how often flights are on time. Give us your views at 8778 My Take. I'm Celeste Headley. John Hockenberry is out this week. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.